So welcome to the start of International Forgiveness Week and Weekend of Perfect Peace. Let us still our mind. I would like to ask Lily to lead us into a prayer.
Hi, welcome everyone. It's an honor and privilege to be with you in this great endeavor. My holy self abides in you, God's Son. Father, you gave me all your sons to be my saviors and my counselors in sight, the bearers of your holy voice in me. In them are you reflected, and in them does Christ look back upon me from myself. Let not your Son forget your holy name. Let not your Son forget his holy source. Let not your Son forget his name is yours. This day we enter into paradise, calling upon God's name and on our own, acknowledging ourself in each of us, united in the holy love of God. How many saviors God has given us. How can we lose the way to him when he has filled the world with those who point to him and given us the sight to look on them? Amen. I love you. I give the microphone back to my beloved husband.
So, indeed, I am very glad you are here. Why don't you greet your neighbor and tell him, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. Is it that simple? Is it that simple? Let Forgiveness Week and the weekend of perfect peace be right here and right now. I love you. And with that being said, I would like to ask Walter to step up to the mic, and he will deliver the keynote address as president of A Course in Miracles International. Walter.
Thank you, Walter. All right. On behalf of A Course in Miracles International and its mission in the world, it is an honor and privilege to welcome you to this opening ceremony of International Forgiveness Week and Weekend of Perfect Peace. On your way to this end of the Revelation Hall, you have already had an opportunity to stand in awe of the incredible peace mosaic, which, with contributions to it from all over the world, has become the symbol of what we have come here to perform. Here at the outset, I would like to thank all of you who have worked tirelessly to make this event possible through your forgiveness, service, and dedication. Our gratitude is due to those who have inspired the numerous expressions of forgiveness and peace that have carried the message of forgiveness and peace around the world, the press releases, the radio messages, the peace mosaic, And our gratitude is due to our only sponsor of this event, the Cheese Factory Restaurant. And our gratitude is due to those who prepared Revelation Hall and contributed to the exhibitions that you see when you walk around. Thank you. Yes. And to those who will give their love to the preparation of all the meals that we will be serving here. And finally, to those who will be filling the event's teaching and workshop schedule, and to all of us who will be participating in offering our forgiveness and peace.
Thank you. Is this working? No. Is it working?
It doesn't seem to me.
What we'll be demonstrating during the upcoming 10-day period in all the activities that will be staged here at the Healing Miracles Healing Center and at our affiliate centers around the world is that forgiveness is the one single requirement and the necessity for the accomplishment of peace. It will be a sequence of a week devoted to the act of forgiveness, leading up to the observance and celebration of the United Nations International Day of Peace, and converging on an experience of a weekend of perfect peace. The International Day of Peace, which is at the center of this event, was established by a United Nations resolution on November 30th, 1981, to coincide with the opening of the United Nations General Assembly. In that resolution, the General Assembly reaffirmed that since wars begin in the minds of men, it is in the minds of men that the defense of peace must be constructed. That a peace based exclusively upon the political and economic arrangements of governments would not be a peace which could secure the unanimous, lasting, and sincere support of the peoples of the world, and that the peace must therefore be founded, if it is not to fail, upon the intellectual and moral solidarity of mankind. And the General Assembly made a declaration that the third Tuesday of September, the opening day of the regular sessions of the General Assembly, shall be officially proclaimed and observed as International Day of Peace, and shall be devoted to commemorating and strengthening the ideals of peace both within and among all nations and peoples. And in 2002, the General Assembly officially declared September the 21st as the permanent date for the International Date of Peace. The mission of A Course in Miracles International is purposeful in making a contribution to this endeavor. As it says, to advance a vision for all people on earth of our divine purpose to be united in peace and love with all of humanity in the recognition of our oneness and equality in the sight of God, with no regard to race, color, creed, gender, or national origin. There is, has been, and will always be in our species an innate, inborn faculty of expanding self-realization and understanding of our entire purpose for existence, derived through and by acts of forgiveness and love. And the only goal of A Course in Miracles, as it says also in the mission statement, is the enlightenment of mind, which would appear to be in keeping with the consideration of the United Nations resolution, that the defense of peace must be constructed in the minds of men. And so at the opening of this event, our contribution to peace, I would like to invite references which provide irrefutable evidence of the enlightenment of mind that we pursue. I would invite Jesus Christ in the New Testament and His Course in Miracles. I would invite the Master Teacher of A Course in Miracles. And I would invite the French paleontologist and Jesuit priest, Father Pierre Thierry de Chardin. Those of you participating with A Course in Miracles International for the first time will notice that within these walls, forgiveness is taught quite differently from the way in which it finds expression in the world. In the world, forgiveness is generally regarded as a pardon for a transgression or a sin someone else has actually committed. And already from a reasonable perspective, the reality of the sin would make it impossible to forgive it. And every effort in that direction, a form of continued condemnation and deception of oneself. And so in the revelation of enlightened recognition, which will be demonstrated and offered as an experience during this event, real forgiveness turns out to be the necessary gift of certainty to oneself, that what one thought occurred did not occur at all. The sin is recognized to be reflecting a mistaken idea about oneself, that one could be separate from what everything is, and so there was no sin and no one committing it. Forgiveness is thus an illusionary answer to what could not occur. This is how Jesus expresses it in lesson 198 in A Course in Miracles. Condemn, and you are made a prisoner. Forgive, and you are freed. Such is the law that rules perception. It is not a law that knowledge understands, for freedom is a part of knowledge. To condemn is thus impossible in truth. What seems to be its influence and its effects have not occurred at all. Yet must we deal with them a while as if they had. Illusion makes illusion, except one. Forgiveness is illusion that is answer to the rest. Forgiveness sweeps all other dreams away, and though it is itself a dream, it breeds no others. All illusions save this one must multiply 1,000-fold. But this is where illusions end. Forgiveness is the end of dreams because it is a dream of waking. It is not itself the truth, yet does it point to where the truth must be and gives direction with the certainty of God Himself. It is a dream in which the Son of God awakens to His self and to His Father, knowing they are one. In the thinking of the world, the act of forgiveness is not associated with or recognized as the gift of peace to oneself, as the only answer to a problem in which no one is asked to make a sacrifice, as an act of fairness, of justice in which no one loses, as the gift of healing to everyone, as a miracle given and received. And yet in this way, forgiveness has to be looked upon individually by every one of us if we would achieve the goal of peace. Listen how Jesus instructs in the mind training of A Course in Miracles. Unless you think that all your brothers have an equal right to miracles with you, you will not claim your right to them because you were unjust to one with equal rights. Seek to deny and you will feel denied. Seek to deprive and you have been deprived. A miracle can never be received because another could receive it not. Only forgiveness offers miracles, and pardon must be just to everyone. The little problems that you keep and hide become your secret sins, because you did not choose to let them be removed for you. And so they gather dust and grow until they cover everything that you perceive and leave you fair to no one. Not one right do you believe you have. And bitterness, with vengeance justified and mercy lost, condemns you as unworthy of forgiveness. The unforgiven have no mercy to bestow upon another. That is why your sole responsibility must be to take forgiveness for yourself. The miracle that you receive, you give. Each one becomes an illustration of the law on which salvation rests, that justice must be done to all if anyone is to be healed. No one can lose, and everyone must benefit. Each miracle is an example of what justice can accomplish when it is offered to everyone alike. It is received and given equally. It is awareness that giving and receiving are the same. Because it does not make the same unlike, it sees no differences where none exists. And thus, it is the same for everyone because it sees no differences in them. Its offering is universal, and it teaches but one message. What is God's belongs to everyone and is his due. In the video entitled "Forgiveness is the Act of a Double Negative," the master teacher of A Course in Miracles, in his prescribed identification with the saviorship of Jesus Christ, provides us with a way, with what may well be the ultimate demonstration of the necessity for forgiveness in order for the justice of God to be acknowledged. He teaches, if there's one thing that I learned from my Savior in his resurrection was the entirety of a double negative association. This is the idea of nurturing the possibility of formulation of your idea of body conversion in the certainty of resurrection. Jesus looks up at God and says, God, I have done absolutely everything you told me to do in a comparison of dark versus light. I ask you now only to shine on me in my definition of myself, since in a conceptual idea of myself, I have fulfilled that function. And I'm waiting right here in this Gethsemane of containment within a universal idea for the acceptance of my light. Are you listening? No response. At that moment, at that precise moment, the entirety of the necessity for a double negative was expressed. And while you like to look at it as quantum teaching, what I'm looking at is God, the universe, what I am in the idea of myself, is totally and positively not concerned at all about your judgmental occupation of comparison of yourself as a body. The fundamental admission of your decision to forgive in its entirety is nothing but a momentary recognition that the entirety of you is a double negative in which there could positively be no idea that you would be confined in space-time. So in that moment of Gethsemane, that moment of devastation, any moment of anxiety or death, any moment in time in which one seems to find himself, there is no answer other than the certainty of the peace of God, and it has no opposite. And so as we progress in our function of forgiveness, the question is asked, how is peace possible in this world? Jesus says that everyone must ask this question. And if you look at the world today, probably does. But is the answer really welcome? In addressing the question in the teacher's manual of A Course in Miracles, Jesus uses a reasoning process that I recommend to everyone. But the bottom line is, he does not answer the question with a yes or no, thereby acknowledging the validity of the question. It is answered with the uncompromising certainty of peace itself, given and received, inevitable as a personal experience. Peace, the peace of God, is not an answer, not a solution to a problem. It is the recognition that the problem, the judgment, the question was not real. Let's listen again to the master teacher of A Course in Miracles in the video, How is Peace Possible in This World? The idea that peace is possible within this world cannot not begin with your idea of how you would like to share the peace and happiness that you found within this world in our relationships with each other. That's exactly why we're here. That is a transformative occurrence in the world. And the transformative occurrence that is going on in the second coming, in this new age of reality, will and did occur. Because it affords us a new relationship in space-time where we momentarily communicate in our entirety, which gives us another reason for being here. And this acknowledges that heretofore the reason was to die, and God denied it. The reason was to deny the resurrection, and God asserts it. The reason that you can be whole and perfect as you were created, and heretofore you have not been able to find it. And here's another great example of how the mind of the master teacher expresses the certainty that peace is only expressed in our love for each other, the different way of looking at the world, not in our judgments. He says, the formulations of the concepts of separate body association, the religion of man, involves the idea that there is a judgment that's going to be brought about in our associations. Whether you deny it or accept it does not concern me, because any form of judgment is the idea of a solution. I repeat that. Any form of judgment is the idea of a solution. And while a so-called atheist may say, yes, I'm going to judge, and then I'm going to be eliminated, that is as unreasonable as the idea of a God that would judge you in another parameter, if you can accept from me fundamentally that all of your judgment is false and that the solution I am offering you is connected to your participation with each other, with my certainty that you are totally unique in your ideas about yourself with God. And this got me to John 14. Listen, Peter says to Jesus, I'm never going to deny you. And Jesus immediately says, yes, you are. He says, you'll deny me three times because your idea of perception concerning me is where the falsity lies. That is not to say that Peter, who is going to be at the gate of heaven through the relinquishment of his judgment, is not in the particulars of the acknowledgement of the power of the conceptual mind, of his conceptual mind to decide, but the assertion that he would never betray or abandon Christ, if it is contained within his conception, will acknowledge the possibility that Jesus could actually die. And that's where the falsity lies. So finally, thank you for your patience. So finally, I would like to share with you the enlightened words of Pierre Teilhard de Chardin in his scientific revelation of faith in an evolutionary peace that constitutes a present reality. Peace, therefore, is certain. It is only a matter of time. Inevitably, with an inevitability which is nothing but the supreme expression of liberty, we are moving laboriously and self-critically towards it. But what exactly do we mean by this? What kind of peace? Only a peace, it is perfectly clear, which will allow, express, and correspond to what I have called the vital infolding of mankind upon itself, a sustained state of growing convergence and concentration, a great organized endeavor. If it is not that kind of peace, then what I have been saying is worthless, and we are back with our uncertainties. This means that all hope of bourgeois tranquility, the dreams of millenary felicity in which we may be tempted to indulge, must be washed out, eliminated from our horizon. A perfectly ordered society, with everyone living in effortless ease within a fixed framework, a world in a state of tranquil repose, all this has nothing to do with our advancing universe, apart from the fact that it would rapidly induce a state of deadly tedium. Although, as I believe, concord must of necessity eventually prevail on Earth, it can, by our premises, only take the form of some sort of tense cohesion, pervaded and inspired with the same energies now become harmonious, which were previously wasted in bloodshed. Unanimity in search and conquest, sustained among us by the universal resolve to raise ourselves upwards, all straining shoulder to shoulder towards ever greater heights of consciousness and freedom. In short, true peace, the only kind that is biologically possible, betokens neither the ending nor the reverse of warfare, but war in a naturally sublimated form. It reflects and corresponds to the normal state of mankind, become at last alive to the possibilities and demands of its evolution. Dear ones, let our prayer be this. Father, forgiveness is your chosen means for our salvation. Let us not forget today that we can have no will but yours. And thus our purpose must be yours as well, if we would reach the peace you will for us. I now declare this event open and wish you all, wherever you are, an incredible International Forgiveness Week and weekend of perfect peace. Thank you.